Good morning. Today I have three scriptures to read for you. The first is Isaiah 58:6-9. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." John 13:34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Our final scripture comes from Romans 12:9-16. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Can you all hear me? Great. It's great to be here. And thank you for such a warm, warm welcome, starting with yesterday morning with the women's circles. I'm spending my entire weekend at Bethel, and it's just been wonderful so far. Often people ask me, how did you end up in Nicaragua? And I usually say, well, I love hot weather. 98 degrees all year long, I'm really happy. But I usually use that lighthearted answer to kind of test to see if the person really wants to know how I ended up in Nicaragua. And if they do, well, then I say, it starts with a call, and it's God's call. So what I hope to share with you this morning is a little bit about that call, what I feel the scripture says to any church or individual feeling called to be in mission, and then end with a short video that tells a little bit about what I've learned along the way. So what took a while for me to actually say yes to that call and then find the right opportunity. And it's a bit like J. Crew's song this morning, you can run, but you can't hide. If God's got a call for you, eventually you're going to say yes. I was working in a dental practice in Boston, which is where I hail from, the New England area. I was volunteering in a clinic for runaway youth. I was active in my local United Methodist Church. My training had groomed me for private practice, but I felt like something was missing, that I could use my skills in a better way to help people. And then a volunteer mission opportunity came up in Nicaragua. My conference had a relationship there. And as I prepared, I had a lot of great mentors, a lot of mentoring, and we use this passage in Isaiah 58 regularly. Feed the hungry, house the homeless, break the bonds of injustice. Mission seemed pretty straightforward. I just had to go do those things, right? Well, when I arrived, like most new missionaries and volunteers, I was very enthusiastic, and I expected that I would be solving huge numbers of dental problems and training lots of people to do what I do and think just like me, and of course, all on my timeline. After all, I had to report back to my supporters, and our culture in the United States were very task-oriented. So this was the first obvious measure of my missionary success. In my first newsletter, I even reported how many teeth we extracted on a mobile medical team down the Coca River. And in case you're wondering, it was 179. And it's important to say that tasks are necessary, and using my technical and my professional skills can definitely help people. But mission is more than that. My preoccupation about going to do something for the Nicaraguans started to shift. And an important moment in that shift was at the end of my first year in Nicaragua. When I was heading back to the United States, I was unsure if I would be able to return. And I felt really bad and really guilty even that so much suffering would continue, but yet I had this choice to come and go from it. I was feeling terrible, but then I had a conversation with Salvador Ocon, who's a farmer, a musician, an architect, and a member of the church that I was working with. And he said to me, "Belinda, it's great that you came to fix and pull teeth, but what's more important is that you took a year of your life and you came to get to know us. And now you're going to go back to the United States and share with people there about our reality and what God is already doing here and how they can journey with us. That is your real gift to us." So Salvador's words helped me get a new perspective on how to help people, what mission can really mean, and that there really are indeed other ways to help. The passage that complements Isaiah's orientation of what to do is in John 13 when Jesus orients us on how to do it. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Salvador and so many people along the way have shown me the importance of that love. And if we listen to the children's message, which is often the most important message during a service, it was about loving Jesus, and really mission without love can be entirely meaningless. So missionary service over the next 20 years has also helped me to grow in a number of ways, and I've learned a lot of new skills. I'm currently assigned to a Christian ecumenical agency called Acción Médica Cristiana. It means Christian Medical Action. We're a health and development organization. I'll refer to it as AMC so you don't have to get your head around those Spanish words. And there, not only do I provide dental services, but I also work in communications, organizing volunteers, and building good partnerships with the agency, with church groups in the United States and other countries. My role as a missionary has diversified over the years. It's still very technical and it's very focused on a specific skill in dentistry that I was trained for. But the longer I'm there, the more my role is about building the capacity of others, mentoring and facilitating and helping people do what they do even better. Recently, I had the opportunity to travel for 5 days to a very, very remote part of Nicaragua with a dental team from the United States. We worked with the AMC field staff in that area and a dental worker named Orlando Jacobo. Orlando is Miskito indigenous, and he comes from the community of Dos Amigos on the Principalca River, a place where you have to take an airplane, an overland truck ride, and then a boat to get to. 20 years ago, well, Dos Amigos has about 400 inhabitants, and about 20 years ago, they held an assembly as they were getting organized, and they elected Orlando to be a health leader. Since that time, he's been participating in trainings offered by AMC, in first aid, basic medicines, and he can even extract teeth. The only official doctors and dentists and health center are in the main city hours away by rowboat. So health leaders along the river, like Orlando, they serve as local doctors, attending to the primary health care needs of their communities. In the part of Nicaragua where he lives, there's only one dentist for every 50,000 people. So Orlando's services are eagerly sought out. He's recently participated in some dental health refresher courses that I've been privileged to facilitate with AMC. And on this particular trip, the U.S. dentist, Dr. Gregson, brought members of his staff to work with AMC to serve 6 communities with extractions, cleanings, and we even did fillings with a solar-powered drill. Orlando wore several hats during the trip. He organized patients, he translated from Spanish into Miskito, and he delivered health care to the patients directly. And I stood there looking at him, and I said, "Orlando, you really can do it all. Do you really need us? Are we really helping you?" And he responded, he said, "I'm so grateful that you came to work with me. I'm participating in so many ways to help the community. I can't meet the dental demand on the river, the demand for dental care." Orlando is an example, an extraordinary example, of the community health system that AMC has been building for over 25 years. Not only can he extract teeth, when we were in one community, a sick patient arrived, carried in by his family on a makeshift hammock. He was severely dehydrated, and he traveled for 6 hours in a boat to get to where we were, which was still far away from the health center. The health leader was away from the community, but his family provided Orlando with a solution that he could place intravenously And then he monitored the patient all night until he was ready to leave and was better to go back to his community the next day. So this kind of first response by thousands of trained health leaders has saved countless lives across the regions where AMC is present. And Orlando's now serving on a territorial council and can have impact on issues like indigenous rights and land demarcation. Dr. Gregson, the U.S. dentist, his comment about the trip was equally as encouraging as Orlando's. He said, as a mission team, we felt safe, cared for, and useful. So my role as missionary dentist, besides delivering health care, was to coordinate with AMC to make it all happen. It was a coming together of the body of Christ for mission service where everyone had a gift to share. And Orlando's capacity was strengthened for ongoing care after we left. So how do I measure my success now? Well, in my personal transformation, I think I'm a little more patient. And now I discern where I can make a contribution and then maybe where I'm not needed. And in my assignment with AMC, I work at being a resource to connect people like Dr. Gregson and Orlando across language and culture, and then help to discern the possibilities of what God is calling us to do together. But I still count the number of teeth. And so you know, last month it was 294. I like the passage in Romans 12, and I've been using it to reflect on mission that uses God's criteria for how we should relate to one another. The passage is chock full. No pretenses, be respectful, be enthusiastic, have hope, be patient, pray at all times, be hospitable, love no matter what, and really do whatever's needed of you according to the context. So cry with those who are crying. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. The passage suggests that the people who are largely left out of social systems are definitely the people to be hanging out with, and that we should live in harmony with everyone. Despite that last criteria, the passage also says that being in partnership and in mission and relating with one another will not be without its conflicts, or finding that not everyone can agree on how to live out the gospel. But we're not to seek to put people down in those circumstances, nor think that we have the last word. The scriptures give us these guidelines, but we must live the experience fully to really know God's grace. So now I'm going to borrow some words from the Bethel UMC Lewis website. Coming to your church is like being in mission. It's the people. It's how God is really active and real in their lives. It's how God's Spirit pulls them together into a warm, an authentic family. So I'm going to stop here for just a minute and let you see a little video that kind of points at some of the lessons I've learned now after 22 years of mission service. How to help. I'm a dentist. I've worked in really good practices in the United States. I speak Spanish with my Latino patients. I love my profession and the jobs that I've had. But something was missing. It was unfair that my patients had to work up to 3 jobs to pay for their dental care. I felt frustrated that I could not help. I felt a calling to use my career in another way. An opportunity arose to offer a year of volunteer service in Nicaragua. I was called by God to use my gifts and skills to serve others. Because missionaries serve in a place where they can help, right? But how to help in Nicaragua? Was I going to fix all the dental problems of that country? A covenant relationship between the New England Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church with the Iglesia de Cristo of Nicaragua provided a way to serve. So I worked as a dentist, but I learned a lot about partnerships and developed lots of new skills. I helped the church start a dental health program that's now run by a Nicaraguan dentist. Then the United Methodist Church commissioned me as a missionary. It was a really exciting time. My current partner organization and host in Nicaragua is Acción Médica Cristiana, or AMC. This group of enthusiastic Nicaraguan professionals also felt God's call, like me, to serve the poorest people in the country. I provided health care in the AMC clinic, but something changed in me during our trip to the Cocoa River. The conditions of the Atlantic coast of Nicaragua were different. The truck had not just one, but two flat tires on the way. We had only the radio to communicate, and it rained constantly. We spent 6 days in a mobile health brigade along the Coca River all the way out to the Caribbean Sea. In each community, we attended a long line of patients waiting to have a tooth pulled out, and as I extracted several teeth on a small girl, I sadly realized that the dental problems in Nicaragua were more than I alone could fix. The girl's dad said to me, "I would like to know how to pull teeth. I could help my community. If someone would teach me, I'm willing to learn." Maybe helping was different than I originally thought. In the following years, I worked with AMC to develop dental health programs. We provide clinical care to cure disease, sometimes just AMC dentists, and sometimes with the help of dental mission teams. But we also began to train dental promoters who know and respond to the reality of their people. Some promoters teach about dental health in schools and help children brush their teeth more often. Some dental workers are trained to extract bad teeth, and they provide dental health care in places where dentists hardly ever get to. Helping people respond to the problems in their own community is part of the community health system that AMC has been developing for more than 25 years. So this kind of help brings change for the future and seems to have more impact than just me trying to fix the problems all by myself. Along the way, I found additional ways to help others. I can write stories and share photos about the work of AMC. I can help AMC build healthy partnerships with people and groups in other countries who support AMC's work. I can help Nicaraguans and people from other countries understand each other across cultural and language barriers. And I can mentor young missionaries and volunteers as they discern God's will for their lives. So what are the lessons I've learned about how to help? First lesson, I am part of a team. Mission can never be about one person trying to do it all. I represent the churches that support me, I work with a local partner in Nicaragua, and I serve people in local communities. I am one link in a larger process. Second lesson, I try to listen before I speak. Sometimes we want to solve a problem that we do not fully understand. It's important to get to know the reality of the people I'm trying to help. Third lesson, I offer my ideas where they will be accepted and try not to impose an idea just because I think it's what should be done. Too often we think our way is the only way, but God may have something else in mind that helps us grow too. Fourth lesson, I trust the people we help and work with because they are already willing and very able. We all have gifts to share, and there is room at God's table for everyone. Fifth and last lesson, and perhaps the most important lesson of all, I'm not afraid of being helped myself. If others need help, why would I think that I don't? To help in a good way, I use my talents to help others discover and strengthen theirs. And in the process, I am also transformed into a better missionary and a better witness of Christ's love in the world. The best kind of help leads to the transformation of people's lives and brings hope for the future. This is God's realm in the making, here on earth. Thank you. You should probably know that this is a premiere showing in a worship service, too, of the video. So thanks for watching it. I just want to close by making a couple of comments. One is, many thanks to the youth. These are cards and letters that I received from Lewis. So those of you responsible in Sunday school and working with the youth who play here. I brought them so you know that I actually do get them. And it's really great. These are the ways that you can be in touch with me and support me, not just with financial support, but with your prayers and just letting me know that you're thinking about me and that you're really considering me as the mission extension of Bethel Lewis, Bethel UMC. So that's really important, and I thank you for that and encourage you to continue. I also have a gift for you from Nicaragua. I'm going to present it, and then I'm going to take it off to the other service, too. It's what I hope you can use for communion. It's made by Nicaraguan women in a small workshop in a community called Masaya, which is there's a lot of lovely artists and crafts down there. Doña Lilian runs a workshop and supports about 13 women, keeps them employed regularly. She's been doing that for about 30 years, so she's survived the ups and downs of the pretty precarious Nicaraguan economy. The scripture that I had her put on the top corner is from Matthew 25:40. Inasmuch as you did this for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. That is AMC's signal Bible verse and really the grounding when the Nicaraguans who founded the organization decided to organize and become a formal organization. They chose that scripture as their guidance. So I'd like to invite Elizabeth up to present it. And maybe, Phil, you could grab the camera and get a photograph of us. Of course, I'm going to take it back from me, but that's all right. I'll present it again at 11 o'clock. So I hope you'll use it in different ways and use it as a symbol. I'm a great believer that we are people of symbols in remembering your extension and your participation in Nicaragua. That's great.
And we, on behalf of all our congregation, we say thank you very much. This is a real treasure to us, and we happily accept this wonderful gift.
Great.
And Barbara, right here on the front row, will be using it for our communion.
Good, very good. Well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I'll take it back to use it again. So I just want to close to say thank you for your continued support in Nicaragua. When we greet one another at church or say goodbye, we say Dios les bendiga, and it means God bless you. Thank you very much.